Welcome back to Uncorked, another podcast brought to you by Team Corker. I am pumped to bring today's guest on to the show. Ludo is the co-founder, one of the co-founders and CEO of Foxfold. And I saw this rad man popping up and down my LinkedIn feed. And I was like, I want to know more. I want to know more. What are they up to? What are they doing? And like a proper, excellent stalker that I am, I reached out and I said, I want to hear more about what's happening at Foxfold. And I want to riff on being a 40-year-old founder and what it's like when you're not starting in your basement or your parents' garage. You have a wife and kids and you're up for saving the planet and changing the game of hospitality and our relationship with waste. So here you are, conversation with Ludo, one of the co-founders of one of the freaking coolest businesses I've heard of in 2024. They are freshly launched, and a special shout out as Ludo has freshly turned 40. How fun. Enjoy. Ludo, welcome to the pod. I am stoked that you said yes, and I'm grateful that we get to have this conversation today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I would love to dive right in because I have a million questions that I intentionally didn't ask you before we hit record. Yet the most important question that I kick this off with is, would you be up for sharing with our listeners who you are? Who are you and how do you identify in 2024?
Absolutely. My name is Ludo. I'm the CEO and co-founder of a company called Foxfold. And we are reinventing what has been for 100 plus years around toilet paper and tissue consumption.
Hot dang. Okay, before we dive into that, is there anything else about Ludo that you want to share?
Beyond that, happily married, live in North Vancouver, have two beautiful little children. Actually, not that little anymore. I have a 5 and 7-year-old that are growing very, very fast. And I am soon to be 40 and having a whole new appreciation for time. And especially now watching my 7-year-old getting as tall and as big and as fast as he is, I'm trying to take every moment that I can with my 5-year-old because I'm seeing that rapid pace and those snuggles and those kisses slowly going away. So I'm trying to soak it all in right now.
Gosh, you're dadding hard because these are fleeting moments, aren't they?
Scary. And scary.
Yeah, and special moments. I think it's not any different without getting into further procreation. Birthing a business, in some respects, is like birthing another child. And it has been an incubation and then it is birthed. And so why don't we dive into the world of Foxfold? And if we can start with the inspiration that inspired the business, other than it being 100 years old.
Actually, the idea came from, you know, my co-founder and I, we traveled quite a bit for business. And I think also in the back of our minds, we have kids that use a lot of toilet paper and a lot of tissues. But the idea came from kind of going around different hotels and seeing the amount of tissue consumption in hotels. We always wondered, like, what happens to that kind of half-used roll that's left in the hotel room? And to our surprise, those half-used rolls end up being tossed away in the garbage. They can't be recycled. Some of them make their way down to staff rooms, but for the most part, they just get thrown away. And so, shockingly enough, a hotel with, say, 200-300 rooms is going through about 50,000 rolls a year, and almost half of those end up in the bin. So a complete waste of time and energy. So we just very simply said, well, what if you started with a clean slate, started with the idea of, like, you know, you don't have a roll anymore. How would you do it differently? Mm-hmm. And that's where we came up with the concept of interfolded sheets of toilet paper. So think of it like an inverted tissue box on the wall. And kind of, you know, grew from there.
And I have to ask, so you were, you know, traveling in the world of work, but did you have any experience in, let's say, hospitality, paper products, or the folding of such tissues in a previous life?
Zero. I had lots of friends and contacts within the hospitality world. I had friends who own hotels or who work in hotels. I also had friends within the world of housekeeping and cleaning and concierge services and all that kind of stuff. But no, I come from a finance background. My two other co-founders, one of them comes from a marketing and operations in the mobile industry in the US. And then the other is kind of like a web designer. So between the three of us, none of us knew anything about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Amazing. I say amazing because there's something so beautiful to, it's not ignorance. It's just, there's a problem that we can see from a lens that no one else has yet to see it from. Do we know why toilet paper has been on a roll?
So I think there's the consideration that, and I think the big reason why what we've built doesn't really exist is because the companies that are making it on a roll aren't going to try to create something that's going to produce less usage, right? Like why fix something when it's producing a tremendous amount of profit and everything else to cut that in half? So that's not a huge incentive to kind of go down that road. So the paper companies tend to not be in the hardware business. Mm-hmm. And then the hardware people are not going to build like a piece of hardware, like a metal box on the wall, for example, mm-hmm. or tissues that don't exist because they're not in the tissue business. Right. So the hardest part of why this doesn't exist is we have to solve for both. We have to solve for mm-hmm. both facial tissues and the toilet paper and the actual tissue itself. And we have to solve for making the dispensers kind of all work together.
Right.
So that's kind of where it all started.
And it sounds like the focus is hospitality, and it's alarming and shocking. And when we hear the numbers, I think it really helps put into perspective like what is being wasted. So that is enormous. Do you imagine or have a vision that we will have these in our homes as well? Or would you prefer it to stay sort of to the masses?
Well, the dream for us is obviously, as you can appreciate, we're a startup still. And so we're focused on places where they've got, you know, a single user with hundreds of rooms upstairs, right? And so the case study for, you know, focusing all of our energy on hotels where there's an immediate demand and need to reduce that cost and need to reduce that waste is big. Then we'll move our way into other verticals that are similar. So like retirement homes would be another really big one. Cruise mm-hmm. ships would probably be a massive one. If you think of like a floating hotel with 3,000 rooms upstairs, the amount of space that toilet paper would take in the belly of that beast would be massive. Right. So my dream, fast forward 5-10 years from now, is, well, maybe, let's say in the next 5 years, you go to a hotel and you walk in and you go, oh, they still use the toilet paper rolls here? That's so disgusting. That's so ancient. That's my dream. And then you have the same kind of vision for, you know, going to someone's home in the future and having, you know, a dispenser on the wall or something that's beautifully designed on the wall is a luxurious piece versus a roll, which is so standard and so outdated now.
I love this so much. Can I ask where Foxfold the name has come from?
Well, funny enough, it took us a long time to come up with the name. As you can appreciate, every other name and iteration that we had come up with, the .com version of that was taken.
Yeah.
So for one, the foxfold.com was available. So that was a big piece, and it wasn't $1 million. It was a penny. So that was great.
Okay.
But second to that is a fox is a great kind of universal unisex animal, if you think about it. It's cunning, it's fast, but it's also, and a little bit vicious, but it's also really soft and fluffy and beautiful all together. It's also universal in terms of international animal, not just to one region. And it's affected by deforestation around the world. And so, which is really big to us because we use 100% FSC certified bamboo in all of our tissue. And so, which is the fastest growing weed in the world instead of using any trees to be cut down. And then fold because obviously we're folding tissues instead of rolling them. And so that's how it came to be. So if you look at my symbol here or behind me, you kind of have the double Fs, which, you know, represents a beautiful branching of a bamboo. But it also, if you were to cut it open, the middle line looks like the edge of the paper. And then it spreads out into layers of papers with the two portions of the F. So lots of time went into creating all of that.
I love it. I see actually like a little baby fox face, and that's really cute too, but not what your intention was. So I love it. My heart beats for this. I feel so excited that you care enough to create something like this in the world. And admittedly, as per many of my fabulous guests here, I stalked you and was like, what is he up to? And what is he doing? And this is so cool. And on the day that I first found you, I discovered you and my stalking began. It happened to be garbage day where I live. And you are not garbage. I just need to share that the essence that I was reading about of garbage and the impact. And I don't know what it's like everywhere. I just know the little community that I live in, garbage trucks come with a robot arm and pick up this bin that I have unclipped so the bears don't get into it. And I unclip these, you know, carabiners, and this robot arm comes and takes my garbage bin and takes my compost and takes my recycling. And this typically a man, I'm certainly not gender conforming, person drives a really great big truck around town. There's very minimal odor. And I'm so shocked because I still remember, and it doesn't feel that long ago, that each garbage truck had two or three different people, typically men. They were hanging off the back of the truck. They were going down the road. They were dumping each side of the street into their truck. And then the driver would, and I'm like, I didn't know in my lifetime that like a human wouldn't do this. And it felt really silly, but it felt like this moment of like recognizing the change that's happening all the time. And there are these moments that you're like, wow, it's really, really different than what it once was. And I share that because on the flip side, sometimes I don't think we pause to say what hasn't changed in a long time. And I just love that you've gone after the toilet paper and tissue market that really hasn't changed, as you say, in 100 years.
And it started with just, I've come up with lots of ideas in my lifetime. Like one of them, for example, was like, you know, as you can appreciate, having a blue bin just like me outside of your home with all the recycling, that blue bin gets filled up really fast. And especially if you have, you know, kids, it just ends up being a pile. And so I was like, well, what if you put like a compactor on there and you could shred down the plastic so that it just, it'll fill up, you know, over the course of probably a month instead of a few days. And then I validated that idea with a few different, I called the recycling companies to find out if that could be a viable idea. And they said, no, because every plastic piece has a number attached to it. And that has a different melting point and so on and so forth. And that idea went away. Now, the toilet paper idea, on the other hand, I started introducing this idea just as a general idea to people of like, hey, what if you had like a toilet paper box on the wall and now, you know, you could refill it and what goes in the room stays in the room. The tissues would be paper wrapped. So you just take off the paper wrapper, recycle that, put it in the room and save you on housekeeping, save you on sustainability, save you on cost, which is obviously the biggest driver for them. And what if we did the same with the tissue box on the side? Like instead of having that cardboard box with that little single-use plastic, and then you have to remove it off the cover and take it out and throw it away and replace it every time. Well, what if I could just make that dispenser fully refillable as well with the same kind of concept? It was like I was inventing fire in front of their eyes, quite literally. And just talking about the idea. And that's where, you know, for anyone in sales who's kind of experienced that, of seeing that little twinkle in someone's eye.
Yeah.
That was kind of like one of the first moments that we were like, okay, we're onto something here.
Yeah.
And then we slowly getting, you know, hey, you build this, we will buy it mentality very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of started us. And that's why I told the story of the recycling, like the validation was quick that it was not a good idea, that it would not work.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it was like, yes, like we right now we'll do it. So that was really
cool. I love it. I'm hitting the pause button on this sweet episode to tell you about something that you might like. Our newsletter, we call it the Corkboard. It has all things juicy, whether you are looking to keep in touch between episodes or find out more about our coaching, development, or hot new jobs that we're working on. The link is in our show notes. Your inbox is sacred and your time is too. So now let's get back to the episode. Well, I wanted to ask you if you were inspired, not necessarily for Foxfold, just in your life, especially as a man of ideas, who were you inspired by as it relates to an invention of a brand, you know, being birthed or something new or a new problem that is being solved? Are there some people or brands that you feel drawn to?
Shopify was a big one for me. So I've listened to a lot of podcasts that features Harley, who's the current CEO of Shopify. And he always talked about, you know, tinkering with that idea. And they are just such an incredible supporter of like the brand itself and the company itself of entrepreneurs, all the way up to like young entrepreneurs. And so for me, it was like, that was a big piece that got me started. And the idea kind of came to us from while I was listening to a podcast featuring Harley. You know, I've never met the guy. I don't even know the guy, but, you know, that idea kind of got fueled a little bit from him, you know, whispering in my ear about, hey, like you should invent something. You should reinvent something. You should do this. And you should keep tinkering at it in your garage. And then eventually maybe take that leap onto entrepreneurship. And so that's the, you know, when you talk about where that came from, I'd say that was probably a big one. I also got to work for a lot of startups when I grew up. So I think that entrepreneurship was in my blood or a part of my DNA throughout my career, whether I was working for a startup or I was, you know, working with entrepreneurs who had startups at the time.
Yeah. Is there a startup story or even a founder story for that matter that you have like tucked in your heart that keeps your heart beating?
Well, the biggest success story that I was a part of very early on was with Tara Bosch at Smart Suites. So I got to meet Tara very, very early on when she was still selling out of her car. She, you know, needed a small amount of money to be able to pay for $300,000 or $400,000 worth of inventory. And I offered to help her, you know, quote unquote, for free and bring in my network of some of my clients that I knew would be passionate about the low sugar gummy bears. And that obviously turned into, you know, an incredible story that, you know, I think no one ever dreamed of. So I think that was like pretty cool. And I mean, from, you know, she's just so impressive as, as a founder. I think I have a whole new appreciation for her now, as I wasn't a founder back then, but now as a co-founder, I have a whole new level of appreciation for sole founders because building something is really, really hard. And being 22 or however old she was when she started Smart Suites, to be on your own working overtime, trying to figure out 3PL and logistics and finance and taxes and billing and sales and everything in between. Wow. She's just a whole other beast that I have a whole, I had respect. Now I have a whole other level of respect for someone like that.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, also, so shout out to Harley. Totally. And shout out to Tara, absolutely, because Tara, in some respects, was also ahead of her time in that I feel like, thank goodness we're in a conversation of kicking sugar from our lives. And I often say how we're so addicted as humans, and we can be addicted to things that a society deems to be okay or not okay. And I mean, I love sugar, and I love that my grandma used to bake things, and I'm like, and sugar is killing us. And like the real conversation of kicking sugar. And I'm like, thank you, Tara. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
And I hope in a very funny, weird way to be able to have a similar kind of effect on people thinking toilet paper, just going like, like, for example, like a lot of the hotels and general managers that I talked to were VPs of operation or procurement, look at toilet paper more as like the necessary tax, right? Like, there is no alternative. And same with the tissue boxes. There is no alternative in that world.
Yeah.
It's just, I need to have it. Like, there's no, like, I can't just put bidets in every bathroom. Well, one, it would be costly to do. But second, like, it just, the you know, our society's not there.
Yeah.
Like, we have to have toilet paper. So it's just a pure pack. Now we're having, you know, conversations with them where it's like, they're like, oh, like, I've never really thought about how much I pay per roll, or like, I never really thought about like alternatives for that. Like they get, funny enough, they get excited to talk about toilet paper in a very, very weird way. So it's cool.
It's not weird at all. I think that something we don't talk about, I mean, we can and we do. It's like, are these times called a recession? And I actually was speaking to someone, you know, a few weeks ago who was like, well, Steph, I think we're in some respects in a bit of a depression. And you hear a lot of, on the other side of recessions and depressions, the things that were created, and some out of necessity and some out of innovation. And what a beautiful time. Like, interest rates are high. The economy is low. Let's not literally flush money down the toilet.
And I knew you were going to use a pun in our interview. Like, it's so hard not to, you know, like, but
yeah, it wasn't even planned. It just came right off the
roll,
tip of my
Steph,
tongue.
You're on a roll. Yeah. It's good. It's
no,
great.
I'm here to fold it. You said something I just want to touch back on, which is, it's really hard. You said it's really hard, and you do have co-founders, and that's a beautiful thing. I think that another conversation we don't speak of is the hard times. And some are really big deals. For some folks, raising money is really hard. It's beautiful, classic. Yes, raising money is hard. Raising money in a recession is hard. I'm wondering, big or small, and again, I'm not here to pry for anything. I'm just curious if you're open to sharing, when you look back from idea to launch, What's been really hard?
You know, what's interesting is, so very early on, we all had this vision. We were three co-founders. One of them is my best friend. The other one is my brother. So the three of us started this company together, but none of us have a building background of anything. And so we were fortunate enough to get connected to Brett, who is the founder of a company called Box Clever out of San Francisco. And they're the industrial design agency behind some award-winning products like Nebbia showers, Caraway pots and pans, Away suitcases. So some of the biggest brands that you've probably heard of. And right away, we got validation from him that we were onto something. But more importantly, he joined us as our fourth co-founder and added that element that we didn't know. And so we had a lot of pieces that we've been trying to figure out of like, okay, well, how do we build this? And lots of pieces that, you know, we didn't, kind of the known unknowns that I know that I need to solve for some of this, but I don't really know what I'm looking for. He helped us with all of that with his whole team of engineering and designers and saved us probably years of headaches and, you know, trials and tribulations. Because to your point, you know, we don't have all the funding in the world. We don't have all the time in the world. We got to kind of get this right. The product will never be perfect, let alone at launch, but we got to get it pretty right pretty quick. So especially if we're selling them by the hundreds. So we've been lucky to have someone like Brett by our side guiding us and saying, hey, you should think about this and you should think about that and we should test this and we should test that. And so we've been really lucky in that sense that we haven't made any really big critical mistakes per se. We still have plenty of cash in the bank, which is great. And I think we're very, very lucky to have the team that we have to build what we're trying to build. The other piece too is we've partnered with some incredible people as some of our strategic advisors. So there's a company called Aunt Flow. They sell period products and dispensers, mostly across the US, but also into Canada. The co-founder, her name is Claire. She started the business a few years ago in her early 20s. So she's been tremendous to help guide us. And then we also have Victor, who's the CEO of Monos, who's been tremendous in trying to get us up and running as well. So that mentorship has been phenomenal and we're super proud of them and many others.
Oh, so cool. I love those stories. And rolling into 2024, I was like, it's the year of together and like community is everything and better together, find your people, help each other. If we're going to make it through, it's going to be together. So I love that. You did share that you come from a finance background. And you are a co-founder and you really, really beautifully just didn't answer that question. And I was like, he's not even in PR and he knows how to not answer the question. And so I wanted to ask only again, out of curiosity, has there been anything that's been hard? Or are you like, I knew something was going to be hard called design or called engineering, called creating something, but then you found kind of like the best diamond in the rough.
So, okay. So yeah. So I'll give you one very specific example. So this is our facial tissues and they come paper wrapped. Now, paper wrapping tissues on all sides, like a little present, doesn't exist. We've called every manufacturer you could possibly imagine across the US. And the only thing that we were able to get was quotes to buy machinery, which would cost anywhere from $1 to $3 million, which we don't. So we then went off to Asia and tried to find where 95% of the world's bamboo grows.
Okay.
And we tried to find, again, vendors that would not only fold toilet paper, which is really hard to do, but then also be able to paper wrap it fully wrapped on all sides.
Okay.
Again, that was incredibly challenging to find someone that could do it, all the way to the point where we ended up having to buy our own machinery and build our own supply chain or manufacturing line in Thailand to get us started with a partner that saw the vision of what we were trying to build because it didn't exist. So we're combining, you know, the machinery of like facial tissue with toilet paper to fold it and paper wrap it and everything in between. And that is, shockingly enough, it seems like a world first because every other way of wrapping it, it's easy to throw it in a plastic bag or in a box, like a cardboard box, but paper wrapping it. So I'd say like the dispenser itself or the sets of dispensers that we sell, that was not hard, like lots of different iterations and prototypes. But it was just like a matter of time before we solved that. We knew that just bending metals or plastics in different ways, we could get there. Yeah. But for the paper, it was like, we might not be able to like do this. Like, even as we have this grand vision and this credible demand, like, I don't think we will be able to solve for it because it's so challenging.
Yeah.
And so we ultimately, and we've hit so many roadblocks. We got so many samples where they said, yes, we can totally do it. And we would get the sample. And then we would have this like row of samples, and they were all garbage. Like either the paper was too hard, like a paper towel, or the wrapping didn't go on all sides. It was just a tube. So that, shockingly enough, it was the paper and solving for the tissues that was the hardest and the most painful.
Oh, my heart. I'm so grateful that you share that story, because I think about all of the plastic that currently is wrapping most toilet paper. And it's like plastic on plastic. Don't go to Costco. That's plastic on plastic on plastic. No kidding. It was so hard. No one's doing it. No one's doing it.
It's wild. It's absolutely wild. So that was really, I mean, it was cool to go to these different factories. Like, we got to visit different plants across the US. We've been to Thailand. We've been to China a few times now to try to go and visit different producers. It was very, very challenging to find someone that could and find a partner that would be willing to. So now we've got two different partners, one in China, one in Thailand, that can produce massive quantities of what we need.
Yeah.
I'd say the only other story that I have for you is freight. Freight and logistics are painful. And seeing your boat in the water, just like inching its way along, then getting the call that it needs to go to customs for 2 weeks, like all of that has also been a massive learning curve that I didn't have experience to. And for any entrepreneur, it's really tough. Really, really tough.
Yeah. Shipping in the recruitment business, supply chain leadership was like number one hot job in the last 18 months. And that's without considering the strikes and the other sides of supply chain, of what happens on either end of the ports, you know, either sides of the journey. But yes, getting things onto a boat and across the ocean and waiting for you, where you have no say, there's nothing you can do, there's nothing that can expedite a process other than sit and wait. Yeah, that's no joke. So good job. So the other question I wanted to ask to that is, how do you keep yourself healthy and vivacious and inspired? And it's never lost on me that, as you introduced yourself, you do have two young children and a family, and all of those things take heart. And I think it's always so interesting to learn from other entrepreneurs and founders. And that this could be like your morning practice. Is it an evening practice? Is it, I acknowledge this time in life is a tornado and I actually don't have any practice, Steph. And there's no right or wrong. Just, are you up for sharing any of that?
I work out every day. I mean, that's the odd kind of weekend day where we're like running around with the kids and three different birthday parties and stuff. But I work out religiously, like whether it's 20 minutes to an hour every single day, just no cardio, just me against the weights, trying to push something really heavy or lift something really heavy. That's my jam. That's where I'm kind of zoned. You know, the other piece too is every day, Monday to Friday, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. for 1 hour, my co-founder and I, we get on a call and we talk about our day and we talk about what we're going to be each tackling today. Is there anything hot and pressing that we need to like figure out and address every single morning? So he's based out of Toronto, so he's in the future, which is great. So I wake up to a flood of emails, and then I put him to bed with a flood of emails. But we spend that 7 to 8 a.m. every single day connecting and checking in on each other, and also making sure that we've got everything tabulated and accounted for. And that's why I was mentioning with Tara before, where it's like, you know, to do it on your own, even with the workouts and even with like routines, it's really hard, really hard.
Yeah.
So to have someone like that, that like I'm checking in with every single day and we're doing this together, is really cool.
That's awesome. I love it. I'm so grateful for this time. The clock has struck that I must ask you the last question. And that is, what is making your heartbeat faster?
What's making my heartbeat faster beyond turning 40 in a few days? What's making my heartbeat faster right now is really like seeing this come to life. Like, this has been 2 years in the making for us. I'm not 20 with like, you know, just living out of our condo anymore. Like, I've, you know, we've got a big mortgage, we've got kids in school, we've got lots of other commitments, and I've left the safety of a, you know, salary and a job and clients and everything to go and chase a dream. So to have that finally come to life after 2 years is very, very exciting. And I'm just excited to finally share it with the world, like share videos, share imagery, share the technology of what we've built that I think will change so much of how we think about toilet paper. And I'm hopeful that it becomes, you know, the next standard of what you see. You're off for the next time you're in some fancy hotel or any hotel for that matter.
Any hotel. I'm like here for the fold. Let's go. Right on. Well, I mean, nothing is quite like giving birth to a child, and you have those, and giving birth to a business is so, so special. And to your point, you know, we don't have so many dreams as an adult that we chase in this way. And some take 2 years, and that's a long time. Most dreams don't happen overnight. And yet we think, I think, what's the quote? It's like the overnight dream that took 10 years. It took you two. And that's pretty cool. And I commend you. I'm stoked to have this conversation. I'm really excited to pick up a fold at the next hotel I'm in. And I'm excited for this to become like homegrown, home in homes, not just in hotels. And I think there's something to be said for how we all experience waste. And without being punny, I think there's something to be said for not throwing away our dreams. And so I'm really stoked that you've gone after this. And we're cheering for you. Way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you reaching out and making the time for us to connect. So thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. Oh, hey, before you go, you know, listening to podcasts on this thing called the internet, it's a wild ride. And what would be so helpful on our wild journey is if you would be so kind to jump on and give us a review. 4, maybe even 5 stars. It really helps. Thanks for joining us.